because we're doing the focus on the on the halachos of muktzah, but as it comes up in the in toys, what's one area which will be the main focus of it, to understand some of the of those halachos of toys and the toy room, we have to understand some of the halachos of chinuch, the mitzvah of chinuch of a parent preparing a child to do the mitzvahs. And so there's one sheet which has mitzvah chinuch, which we're going to go through. Try and go through it a little bit quickly, if that's possible in this year. So there's a mitzvah chinuch. The mitzvah deraisa for a child, for a person to do mitzvah, starts at age of chiyuv mitzvah, age of bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, 13 years old, 12 years old. There's a mitzvah before that called the mitzvah chinuch. That's a mitzvah of the parents. Like all opinions applies to the father, most opinion applies to the mother. Also, there's a mitzvah of the parent to be mechanas their child, which is to prepare them to get used to doing the mitzvahs. The age of chinuch changes per mitzvah, and somewhat changes per child. We say a child who's more intelligent, maybe is younger, etc. So the Gemara goes through by mitzvahs asay, we go through various different mitzvahs asay, what's the age of the child that you're supposed to make a child in the mitzvah of tzitzis, when a child is able to understand certain things about tzitzis. What's the age of a child in the mitzvah of sukkah? And the more it goes to each one of them, when that age is. I'm not going to get involved in that tonight, because we're going to focus more on the prohibitions of Shabbos. And what's interesting is to discuss, when is the age of a mitzvah chinuch start for children on lois aseis? And that's what we're going to touch on tonight. So, by assays, it usually starts much later on. It could be age 6, 7, some of them it's even later. Some different mitzvahs start later. For a los assay, the age where it starts is when the child understands the concept of something is prohibited. What do I mean? You tell a child no, so at a certain age, a child doesn't understand the word no, period. A certain age, a child understands the word no, but it chooses to ignore it. Okay, but at a certain age, a child doesn't understand the concept of no. A certain age, a child understands that no is no. But they don't understand what exactly the no is about. So you tell them no, and they don't do it. The next time, they start doing it again. They don't understand, they can't extrapolate from the no of the last time to that this is also a problem. So that's not chinuch yet. You know, you can tell the child no, and he'll listen to you. There's no mitzvah chinuch in that situation. Mitzvah chinuch starts when a child can understand, oh, that's something I shouldn't be doing on a regular basis. Every 7 days, I shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z. I understand that, and that's the age of chinuch. So how old is that? Well, most people say it runs somewhere between age of 4 and 6. Some say a more precocious child is the age of 4, some say 5, some say less precocious child is 5, 6. It doesn't start before the age of 4. By the time you get to the age of 6, we assume that all children, 5, 6, all children are able to understand the concept that this is something they shouldn't be doing on a regular basis. So that's the mitzvah chinuch. That mitzvah chinuch only applies to the parent. There's no mitzvah on somebody other than the parent, no mitzvah on an outsider. There's a question about grandparents. If there's a mitzvah chinuch, most persons say there is not. The mitzvah chinuch is on the parents, not on the grandparents. Okay. That's so we were going to discuss certain things that the child shouldn't be doing. I said, well, the child is a certain age, we shouldn't be allowing the child to do this, because I have a mitzvah chinuch to teach him not to do this on Shabbos. Okay. The second area in halacha which you have to talk about is that a child, in certain cases, he's doing something and he's not in the age of doing, where there's not the age of chinuch yet. The child's doing it for the parent. Child, no, he's doing it because the parent wants him to do this. So that's usur. You can't have a child doing something for you that he understands that it's for you. Okay? And that's, you know, it can be a 2-year-old. If the kid cops, you want him to do this. You put the kid next to the light, so the kid should turn on the light, and it's, you know, saying, oh, Tato, don't you want the lights in the room? He says, oh, yeah, you know, smart kid. He says, yeah, mommy wants the lights on, you know? And once the kid understands mommy wants the lights on, you cannot tell the child to do that. Okay, doing it for a non-parent, that's a deraisa. Doing it for a non-parent is a derabanan, and they put it by non-parent also. It's innocent to do it for somebody other than the parents. Okay, now, there is, I'm going to skip to number 5 for a second. The same way you cannot have a child doing for a parent, and that's any age, you cannot tell a child to do an Aveira at any age. So the parent cannot be in a situation where he's telling the child to do something wrong. So what about causing a child to do something wrong, which is number six? So I'm not telling him to do something wrong, I'm just giving him the smokes item in his hands. Or I put it right next to him, so he'll pick it up and play with it. So I didn't tell him to do an Aveira, right? But at the same time, what I've done is I basically caused him to do an Aveira. So to put it into his hands is definitely awesome. To put it into his hands is definitely usur. The source word is a Gemara. It's a little bit of a... The Gemara, and even though it's not your intent necessarily that he should do that. The Gemara says you can't give a child a non-kosher grasshopper to play with because he might eat it. Right? Okay? Okay. That's the case the Gemara gives. I thought you would enjoy that. Right? So... You can give a kosher grasshopper because we're similar. He eats it. He ate it. So he's supposed to eat it. Grasshoppers are kosher. Right? But the more simple, a non-kosher grasshopper, you can't give him the... You're giving it to him to play with, not to eat. But he might eat it, so you can't give it to him. There's Mishabura says, if you put it, Mishabura in Hilchus Sukkah, so you have a child who's mechiv in Sukkah. So he's not allowed to eat outside of the Sukkah. So if I can't put food in his mouth, I can't put food in his hand outside of the Sukkah because he might eat it. But if I put it down and he takes it, that's mutter, Mishabura says. That's a very important halacha. Mishabura says that I'm going to put something down in a way the child might take it, even though he's going to do an Aveira. That is not, he's not the age of chinuch yet. Okay, so then that's going to be mutter. Now, the one thing which you have to know is we have to go back to number four. How is that mutter to cause a child to do an Aveira if there's a mitzvah to stop a child from doing an Aveira? Okay, so what am I mechuyev to stop? The more refers to this as bezin mitzvah l'hafrisha. If a child is eating something non kosher, does bezin have to stop in and stop him? And what age does that start? Okay, so. If it's his child, so whether it's an issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabbanan, it applies. If it's not his child, it applies by issa d'oraisa. If it's his child, that starts from age four. So if I see my child doing something wrong, and he's age four already, I didn't tell him to do it at all. I wasn't involved in telling him to do it at all. He's age four already. Whether it's the rice or the rabbanon, I'm chayav to stop him. If I see somebody else's child do something wrong, then is it the rice? I'm chayav to stop him from the age of five or six, not from the age of four. Okay, got the last point? Let me repeat that. Let me repeat that again.
Yes, yeah. Okay, I just have. So what happens when we're talking about chinuch now? When does the I'm talking as a grandparent, when your child allows your grandchild to do something that you know is not permitted, but they have accepted certain more lenient things as a chinuch, am I then responsible to tell my child or my grandchild?
Now that's a fascinating question. So there's an interesting halacha shaila. At what age does the mitzvah chinuch end?
Yeah.
Okay. So Moshe comes along and says, he brings the one opinion which says that the mitzvah of chinuch, Mr. Burr's mash of the mitzvah of chinuch ends by bar mitzvah.
Okay.
But what's that? Wait, we're not finished yet. But then he says, but there's a mitzvah of teichacha, which is giving somebody, you have to correct somebody. That applies to any adult. If I say something wrong, it applies to somebody, applies to my child also. But Moshe disagrees. Moshe says the mitzvah of chinuch applies even afterwards also, even after bar mitzvah.
I thought, according to the
Raisa,
it only starts at Bar Mitzvah. Mitzvah
Chinuch,
that's what we just said, no?
No, the person's own mitzvah starts at Bar Mitzvah. The mitzvah Chinuch of the parents starts beforehand.
Oh, but Chinuch to who? To yourself?
No, to the child.
Am I, Rivka, okay?
We're good?
Got a clue?
Sure.
Okay.
Mitzvah's Asik starts at 12, 13 year old.
Yeah, that's for me to do mitzvahs. Right?
Oh, okay, when we say chinuch, we mean... Okay.
Now there's a mitzvah of the parent to be mechanuch the child before that to get him into the mode.
Okay.
Okay? I want to repeat this last point, number four. Okay, number four, so child is doing an aveira. So it's my child, whether it's a deraisa or the rabbanon, from the age of four, I have a chiyuv to stop him. If it's my child, whether it's a deraisa or the isser, the rabbanon isser, he's 4 years older, I have a chiyuv to stop him. Regardless of before that, I don't have a chiyuv to stop him. But it says by Macholos Asuras, because there's Timtum, we shouldn't allow him to do such a thing, etc. But comes to Chil Shabbos, the child was 2 years old, child was being Mechal Shabbos, there's no mitzvah at all, I have no chiyuv to stop him. Right. I want to enjoy it myself. My kids going like back and forth to the lights up and down like this, you know, for half an hour. I might enjoy my Shabbat like that very much. But halachically, I have no chiyuv to stop him from flipping the lights. At the age of, he's 3 years old, and he's flipping the lights on Shabbos. I have no chiyuv to stop him. No. I mean, we might want to do it. There's no mitzvah to do that. So, which then allows me, in certain cases, I can even maybe facilitate. So, the child, we'll see, let's say the child... So we all have, you know, by the time you get to the second kid, so the first kid, the first child is, of course, very protective of their sibling, sometimes, right? So with the sibling sitting in the baby swing, so the older 2-year-old wants to turn it on. Are you allowed to do that? Well, maybe you want to do that. You want the baby to swing. So you don't want to stop him from doing that. Well, I stop my kid from doing it. I'm not going to stop him. So I can't tell the kid, go turn on the swing, right? Can't tell him to do that avera. I can't cause him to do that avera. Right? I can't take my 2-year-old and put him right next to the thing and say, isn't that interesting? You know, I can't do that either. But if I put him down, you know, saying, hey, come in here. Right? And he says, oh, the swing. I love turning on the swing. You know, I'm not going to stop him. So, and that's why I'm saying it's important to understand when we get involved in, you know, we have some scenarios where there are muksa issues or halacha, and you might want to find a way to get around something. There are some ways to get around some things. So I want to point it out. Because the last thing is number seven, which is a fascinating machlokes. Well, it really depends whether what your masara is. Can a child, if it's for the child's own need, and it's a drabana, may I allow him to do that? Under the age of chinuch. 4-year-old kid, 3-year-old kid, he wants to carry on Shabbos. He wants to carry his pekel. He wants to go. You're walking on the shul with him, and he wants to, there's no Erev. He wants to carry his Cheerios with him. So the Rashba says, yeah, there's a Rashba that says he may, and Kevegar passes like that. And the minute by the Chassidim is to be Chachil to do that. So you'll go into, maybe nowadays there's an Erev in Brooklyn, but let's say there was no Erev in Brooklyn for many years. You'd walk at Shabbos in the morning, you see, you know, everybody's checking out their older pockets and the 2-year-old kid, and the kid is walking with his pig payas with his big peckle of, you know, of not Cheerios, because, you know, they had something more from than that, whatever, but, you know, his badat heksher, the toastios, you know. But yeah, they would do the chachila. But Ashkenazim, we don't do that, but our scenario is what we're going to be samech on it, in case of real need. We'll be samech on that. Okay, so that's the mitzvah of chinuch. Again, so should I run through this quickly? Person's mitzvah starts at the age of bar mitzvah, that's my own mitzvah, the mitzvah of the parents beforehand to mechanach the child. By assays that starts each one, by each assay it has its rules. By los assay it starts by somewhere between age 4 and 6. Number one. Number two, a child is doing something from the parent, he knows the parent wants it, the parent does not allow the child to do that, and that pashas is an issur d'oraisa. He cannot do it for a non-parent either. If he knows he's doing it, that's what the adult wants him to do. Stopping a child from an avera, so he's pointed out that I have a chiyuv to stop my child from doing an avera, whether it's the derisa or the rabbanon, from age 4. My child. Somebody else's child, I have a chiyuv from age 4 or 5 or 6. I cannot tell a child to do an avera. I cannot cause a child to do an avera, but I could cause the step before the causing. I can't put him right next to the thing, but I can put him... Can't put it in his hand, but I can put him near it, and then he goes and does it on his own. That's okay. And he says, "Rabbanu for child's needs." There's an opinion which says that it's for the child's purpose. We are allowed to have the child do it for his own needs. Kevegar says a case where there's no erev and the kid wants to come to shul to daven. So Kevegar says so. He was even above the age of this. He was under bar mitzvah. Says he can carry his sitter to shul. can carry a seder to shul. He can't carry it for you, but he can carry it for himself. And if you want to afterwards look on with him, Kabeger said that's also okay. So you can, you know, you can sort of hop around with that situation. Okay. That is introduction number one. We're gonna get to the sheet. I promise you. introduction number two. Just, I'm not gonna go through all of these. It's the categories of muksa. So we put down six different categories of muksa. There actually are some more, but we're not even get to all six of these. So the first one is the most common one, which we're very familiar with. It's called prohibited utensils. Klisha manatol iser, a keli which its main function is to use something prohibited. So klisha manatol iser. Chazal put an iser of muksa on it. I cannot move it for no purpose. A. I cannot move it for it to protect it. I cannot can move it to protect the item itself. So I have my grater sitting out, and whatever, we did something outside. I put the grater outside. It was more was to take it. No problem. Go out on the porch. Took my grater outside. Grate all of the mower, and it's wonderful. I leave it outside. It starts to rain. It's going to get rusty. So I want to bring it inside on Shabbos. I can't bring it inside. I'm moving it for the purpose of the grater. I can't do it for that purpose. If I want to use it from something of my benefits, I want to bring my hammer in because I can't bring a hammer. I left my hammer outside. Somebody's going to steal my hammer. No, I can't bring it in. I want to bring the hammer because I want to crack a nut. So date. I want to move. That's the tzarach gufa. The tzarach mekayma. The hammer's in the seat that I need to sit in. So I'm allowed to do that also. So prohibited utensils have a heter of the tzarach gufa and the tzarach mekayma. If I need to use the item for myself, or I need the place where the item is. So that's category number one. Category number two is items of value. Now, items of value is known as what's called muksa machmas chasarin kis, that they're muksa because of the loss of the consideration of the value of the item. They only apply, items of value only applies to something which is a prohibited utensil. I have a very expensive becher. Solid gold. Very expensive. But it's not a prohibited utensil. I can make kiddush with it. So I'm allowed to make kiddush with that. No problem. Right. But if I have a very expensive knife, which is used for shkita or for mila, so I can't do shkita on Shabbos. Mila is limited when I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. I wouldn't use it for anything else because of its value. I have a camera. I can't take pictures on Shabbos. So the cameras, it starts off, it's a prohibited utensil. I can't take pictures with it. But so its primary function I cannot do because it's prohibited. Its secondary functions I will not do because of its value. So I will not use my $6,000 camera for anything else but taking pictures. Right? I'm a photographer and I have a very expensive camera. I'm not going to use it in the open taking pictures. I'm not going to use it as a paperweight when the wind is blowing on my paper. So that's the second level. So it's a prohibited utensil, which also has a value to the point I will not use it for anything else. That becomes totally muksa. You may not do anything with it. It becomes totally muksa. The third area is called inherently muksa, which means what's called muksa machmas gufoy, things which are not a utensil, sticks, stones, sand, mud, these type of things. So those are considered inherently muksa, and you cannot move them for any other purpose. And then there's three more which we're not going to touch. Really, they're not really relevant to what we're going to be discussing tonight, so I'm not going to spend too much time into them. Yes?
The one you just said, inherently muksa, you were talking like pebbles and stones, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to pick them up and to play with them?
Correct. Any movement.
Can you walk on them?
We hold tiltal bagufay, moving them with your body is permitted.
Okay.
So any movement with your body is not an issue.
Okay.
Even like if you're at the
correct. Right. I mean, you could even, if you, more than that, you could, if you want to like move some sand with your feet, you know, to try and, you know, you could do that too. I mean, walking is not such a chiddush, but you can intentionally do something. You want to move. So, I mean, example of Shabbos. Meat falls out of the freezer. Frozen meat falls out of the freezer. So it's inherently muksa. It's not a kli. It's raw meat. Can't do anything with it on Shabbos. It's totally muksa. Okay. So I'm allowed to, if I'm very agile, I can lie down on the floor, if there's room to pick up the meat with my feet and put it back into the freezer. I've done that, by the way. I'm intentionally moving the muksa with my feet, but that's okay.
You can't do it with your elbows.
What? It's not shinui. It says tiltal begufa is really the point. It says Chazal didn't put the isur tiltal muksa on the body; they put it on the hands.
Can you do it with your elbows?
You can try to do it with your elbows. I'm wary of elbows because elbows end up usually end up being hands.
What about the value of it?
What?
You don't do anything to it then, you're saying?
I'm sorry?
If you can't do it with your feet, you just leave it out there?
Well, yeah, it'd be any part of your body other than your hands. You know, you can put it back. Can you have your baby do it? So if the baby knows that they're doing it for you, it's awesome. Right? That's the case we had before. Because he knows he's doing it for the parents. But if the kid has been chalishing to play with the meat in the freezer, right, and you always say no, and this time you say no, you know, you have to bring the kid into the room and he says, meat! You know, he's just playing with it, you know, you're just hoping he'll put it in the freezer eventually. Yeah, that's fine.
What about he can really reach it.
What?
What about, like, sweeping it onto a dustpan? And then
sweeping onto a dustpan, what you mean?
Using other...
No.
It's like extension of your hand.
No, that's the extension of your hand, that's awesome.
With the items that are inherently mixed, like sticks or stones, what if your children, the boys, whatever, have designated them pre-Shabbos as their, they have special sticks, they're already toys. Is that okay? Or
if they're designated for continuous use, that's sufficient.
Okay.
In other words, if they every Shabbos they decide to get new sticks, that's not going to work. But if they put it away, this is going to be my sticks, and we play with them on a regular basis, that's sufficient. Yeah. Okay, so now let's just talk. I did this in alphabetical order, but even though it's not necessarily the most logical order to deal with these items, at least it has some element of working with it.
Can I go back to the inherently muksa?
Yes.
Question? What if your child takes something that is, like, you're at someone's house and they take something that is valuable, that like their expensive camera, and is playing with it and going to do some kind of damage with it? Can you do anything to get it from the child, or...?
Daffin. Okay. You can try and entice it with something else, hopefully, which is more valuable or a bit more exciting.
Can you tell him to put it down? Can you say, like, put this over there? Like,
yes, once he has it in his hands, you can tell him where to put it, yeah. Or if he's going to listen, you know, that's a different story.
I feel like if you put that over there, I'll give you a jelly bean.
That's fine. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay, so some of the issues over here are muksa, some of the issues which have come up in the area of toys and games. Some of them, the issue is not muksa, but the issue is muksa eventually will result of it, and some of them there's no issue of muksa at all. Okay, so the more it's going to be a problem of usra, obviously the more it's going to be an issue of muksa. So, first one is, again, the order is not okay. Balloons, are you allowed to blow up balloons on Shabbos? So the question is that the Gemara discusses a case of a person has an empty pillowcase, pillow, and they would fill it up, they would stuff it with some type of a soft down or whatever it is. So more so, you're not allowed to stuff it with that down on Shabbos. It's called makor patish. You're completing the kli, making a kli on Shabbos. It's called makor patish, and it would be an issur d'oraisa to stuff that on Shabbos. So the Gemara says if it comes out, to put it back in as mutter. It's already been, but to put it in and get it going and make it into this usable thing, that's awesome. So some will argue that inflating the balloon is the exact same thing. Some persons say it's a problem. Some persons say it's not a problem. It's not the same, filling it with air is not the same thing as filling it with down or whatever it is. And that's different. It's mutter, but yahweh, you cannot tie it. You can't tie them. So are they muksa? So according to the first opinion, they'd be considered muksa. According to the second opinion, they're not considered muksa. I'm more inclined towards Isser, if you want to know what my personal opinion on that one is. Okay. Okay, number two.
But once they're already inflated?
Once they're already inflated, no problem. I mean, they're already inflated and tied. Yeah, because they hate. Right. Okay. Now, balls. So, playing with balls is a fascinating issue. I'm going to go to number C first. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Shin Ches that balls are muksa gomer. You cannot play with them on Shabbos. Rama disagrees and says they're not muksun, you're allowed to play, you may play with them on Shabbos. So at this point in time, we would say for Sephardim, the psak is that if they're muksa gomer, for Ashkenazim, you're allowed to play with them. That would be at this point in time. However, 2 points. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal came along and said that was Bizman of Chazal, Bizman of the Rishonim. They didn't make the ball specifically for the purpose of play. So basically, we took this item, which was usable as a ball, and used it. But nowadays, they're made actually for the purpose of play, and they're made to be a kli to use, to play with. Even the Shulchan Aruch would agree that they're not considered muksa, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. However, the Beir Halacha brings from a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the reason why there was a city in Eretz Yisrael called Tur Malka, which was destroyed, it was destroyed because they played ball on Shabbos. So therefore the Beir Halacha discourages very much playing ball on Shabbos because that was something which was a lack of the respect of proper respect of recovered Shabbos, and therefore a person should not play ball on Shabbos according to the Beir Halacha. Okay. That being said, is it muksa? It's not muksa because they didn't make an Isser Gomer. What there is an issue is that we came along because they were worried about, and we discussed this by the case of the sweeping. If it's a type of game which you need a flat surface, the person might flatten out the surface. So if he's playing marbles, he's playing soccer, he's playing bowling on the lawn bowling, well, I don't like that rut over there, so I'm going to fix the rut. So Chazal said, you can't play it because you might come to fix it. So that's marbles, any type of games on an earth surface. It's also, it was a kind of rabbanon, you may not play it because you might come to flatten it out. Okay, now what about inside on a surface which that doesn't apply? So we discussed this by the case of the cleaning with the broom, sweeping, which is the same problem. You might come to flatten out the holes. So he said you can't sweep on Shabbos because you might fill up the holes. But we said even though you can't sweep on Shabbos because you might fill up the holes, if you do it inside and everybody in the city doesn't have dirt floors anymore, everybody has either stone or wood floors, then it's mutter. So many poskim say that, we argue the same thing over here. However, you recall then we spoke about sweeping. We said that the difference between sweeping, which we said was there's a hetter, and putting down water, which said that which was us, even though we have, again, the problem with the water was you'd have a dirt floor, it would smooth it out. But I don't have a dirt floor. Nobody has a dirt floor. We said we're not going to permit it because you only permitted something where there was a real need. To sweep is a real need. So something's not a real need, you didn't permit. So therefore, there are many persons would say that the games which need a flat surface, if you play them on the floor, even though everything in the town has some type of a surface on, you know, covered surface on their floor, you can't play them on the floor. You want to play them on the table? It's mutter. You want to play marbles on the table? You want to play kugelach on the table? You want to play, I'm assuming you need a flat surface for kugelach. Maybe you don't, but it's much better to play kugelach with a flat surface. Chamesh Avanim?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You can do it on
the table. So, but a game on the floor is becomes very questionable. So certain games don't need flat. I mean, baseball doesn't need a flat surface, right? I mean, football doesn't need a flat surface. Basketball, you could argue maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. You know whether it needs a flat surface or not. So games which need a flat surface, you may not play on Shabbos. Balls are the main thing is play, throwing, etc. Those are not a problem. So those would be permitted. Even according to the Shulchan Aruch, I put in parentheses, even because the Shulchan Aruch, it should be permitted nowadays. But there is still this issue of the lack of covered Shabbos. Okay. Bicycle. So many persons feel that a bicycle was made, the main thing a bicycle was made for was for going distance. So it's made for, yeah, sorry.
So what's the bottom line about
Kofichalis?
So that means even if it's not
Muxa, so what many poskim do is they basically try and make a cutoff by Bar Mitzvah. Make a cutoff by Bar Mitzvah. They say that before Bar Mitzvah, you know, it's not Osir Mikra Adin. It's a question of Kofichalis. You know, it's a question of the Kofichalis. by the time the person reaches the bar mitzvah already, they should be moving away from that. And again, listen, you have to deal with the child. Each child as is.
So if you're just playing with a little kid, can you roll the ball back and forth in your house? On the floor?
Yeah, because you know, it's like that's something which you really mock about on having a flat surface.
It's only if you care if it's...
You only care if you care that it's flat. Right? Okay. A bicycle is made for going out, and therefore it's maklisha malato leser v'chitzah. So it would go into the din of muksa of klisha malato leser. It's made for a prohibited use. Therefore, you should not be using bicycles on Shabbos. Okay. Board games, in general, they don't keep score. So those are permitted. Uv d'lechol, so there's a fascinating Morgan of Rome. Morgan of Rome was talking about chess, which is you know, really goes into the board games. I listed it separately because he talks about chess. He says, even though you're allowed to play chess on Shabbos, since that is a weekday type of activity, you should do it in a different way than you do it during the weekdays. He says, well, how should you do it differently? You should have a separate designated chess set for Shabbos. He says that this way, it's not called uv d'lechol. If you remember your halachas when you learned in seminary about brushing your hair, so you said you're allowed to use a very light brush, but since uv d'lechol, you should have a special brush for Shabbos. So even if it's the fact that it's light, is also you know, uv d'lechol, it shouldn't be a weekday way of doing it, you should have a special brush for Shabbos. Some places say, Moshe, you've been brushing your teeth. If you do it in a way, you know, people don't bleed easily, and you're not going to use any toothpaste, smikra din, you could use a toothbrush on Shabbos. You should have a special brush for Shabbos because of the lechol. Yeah.
We have board games that you do need a score, but you keep the score like in a book, like on the book pages and things like that.
Some persons say, Philip, that since during the week you don't do that, there's a chai adam which says that any game which you normally write, you shouldn't play because you might forget and come to write. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There are some games that my family has gotten into the habit of.
Just so that we should be able to play on Shabbos, something that's allowed. But let's say Scrabble, like for someone we usually play it on Shabbos, but how do you ever play it? If you do during the week, then we'll take books and put a tissue in that page that we're up to, even during the week, so that we can be much better for Shabbos. Okay, you know, if that became normal with them, even when they play with their friends, etc., that became normal, they don't take score, so they still have a concern, they might forget, you know, the fact that, let's just say your house you know, changes the whole way of doing it. I don't know. Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
What if you don't keep the pens in the box? Like there are no pens available.
I don't know. Okay. Now I do want to point out just on Scrabble that even if you do play Scrabble, you get around Scrabble, there's an issue with, you know, if you're from the richer crowd and you have deluxe Scrabble, you have a problem. We'll talk about letter. We get the letters. We'll go back to Scrabble again. It is important to be aware of a borer issue when it comes to board games. Sometimes there's different pieces. You have to borer them. So if you're preparing them to play, that's not a problem borer because you're preparing to play for immediate use. If after you finish a game, you want to put everything away, if it's all mixed up, you want to put it away and sort it out, that'd be also because of barter. So you have to be careful with barter. Playing cards, I'm not saying it's permitted for playing cards for money, but, you know, kids play cards, you know, they play go fish, whatever. So that's permitted. Again, you have to be careful sometimes with the barter issues. Trading cards. You know, kids are trading Rebbe cards or mitzvah cards or baseball cards, whatever. I didn't say that. So, taking them, showing them, I think is permitted. Trading them, I think it probably gets involved in some type of a business transaction. For a kid, that's a business transaction. So I think they shouldn't be doing that.
Wait, so with cards, if you're separating them to figure out that you have all the cards that's allowed?
If you're separating them, preparing them for the game.
Meaning I need to make sure that I have all my cards so that I can play the game. I can do that?
So I'm doing it for immediate use, by hands. And it's no good and bad over there. I'm just getting everything ready to play, so that's okay. Chess and checkers, again, it's permitted. So barer at the end of the game, my white pieces and black pieces are all over the board together. I pick out all the white pieces and put them in this side. Back, I might have a barer problem. You should be aware. You might have a barer problem in that situation. Just be aware of that. And the chol, again, you would have something. It's better you should have a separate set if you want to play that. have a separate set to play that on Shabbos. Okay. Electric toys. So it's mukzah because they use electricity to do their function. So they're mukzah. It might be using electric toys according to Chazon Ish is the Raisa, according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman is the Rabbanon. Okay, so my kid wants to play with an electric toy. All of his toys, he has his truck, which has, you know, has the buttons that you push for the sirens and the this and the that, right? Right? And this is what toy nowadays, except for your pots and pans, right? What toy nowadays is an electric? Well, we go back to the mitzvah chinuch, right? So we get what am I allowed to do with my child? He wants to play with his toy. So if he's 2 years old and he wants to play with his truck, I don't want to stop him. I mean, I might enjoy, you know, it saying, you know, the siren noise going through my house the whole Shabbos. But mikra din, I don't have to stop him. Right? Not only that, if I can't put it in his hand, but I can put him in the room, you know, and I know he's going to pick up the toy. That's also what I can cause him to do it as long as I put it directly next to him. We said for the Mishnah Berurah. So that I can't tell him to do it. If he's over a certain age, if he's over the age of 4, so I have to stop him from doing it. But up to age 4, I don't have to stop him at all. So again, if a person feels that that's something which, whatever reason, they feel that that's something that they... Well, let's say you have a case of a child who's extremely cranky, he's not feeling well, and the only thing that soothes him is his favorite toy. He's 6 years old, 7 years old. Right, so now he's ready. The age of chinuch, I can't let him play with something which is wrong. But we have number 7, and it's nisa d'rabbanan. If you assume that playing with these toys is nisa d'rabbanan, which most boys can do, so it's for the child's need. So there is again, there's a rashma to rely on in that situation. If it's a real tzarech. There's something to rely on. You allow the child to play with such a thing, which is the Rabbanan, it's for his needs, it's not for you. Again, if you're doing it because you can't take the screaming, so that's the problem. But if you're doing it for the child's need, it's for the child's need, that would be a heter. Yeah.
What about the electric toys? The electricity is turned off, so the batteries are in there, but using the toy without using...
Right, so it's a klishim not to lister still. So the tzara kufa is permitted. So if that's the child's need, that's a tzara kufa. His need is to play with that.
Moving the toy, like for the parents, don't need the toy.
So then for the can I take it and give it to him? So that's called a valid tzara. So same way I can use my hammer to open my nuts, I can take the toy and give it to him. So if I know that it's off, he's not going to be able to turn it on. So I'm not getting involved. If he might turn it on, so I'm putting it into his hands. That's back to my grasshopper situation. I'm putting the grasshopper into his hands. He might eat it. Putting the truck in his hands, and he might turn it on. So that I can't do. But if you know he cannot turn it on, so then I could give it to him.
Same if it's in your way. You can be moving it away from the area.
Correct.
And you can clean it up. You can move it to clean up.
You can move it if you need the place. Just not just because you want to make it more look nicer. If you actually need that spot, someone comes, you need the spot. Yeah.
So I just want to clarify. So if the toy is off, I can move it if I need the spot, and I can give it to the child if he can't turn it on.
Correct.
Himself. And then what if it's we're in the hallway a lot in our building? So what if like he's in the hallway with the toy and then doesn't want to bring the toy back into the neighbor's house, can you... And so basically, you're just moving the
foot.
Foot and kick it back into the neighbor's house.
Okay. Okay, so... building toys. Legos, clicks. So erector set. Who remembers the erector set, okay? Erector sets, screw. That you cannot do. You cannot let the child do the screwing. You're very little child are not doing that. By the time they get they're doing the rector sets, I mean, most very precocious kid, right? But by the time they're 4 years old, they're doing the rector sets. You cannot let them do rector sets because that's mamash doing a malacha of screwing it in. So that's awesome. So the rector sets are a problem. Your building blocks are no question. You know, there's no real binyan involved in that. The question comes up like the Tinker toys, when they're brand new and they actually hold together. Not like, you know, our ones, you have Yerusha, which, you know, they don't hold anyway. But Legos, clicks, bristle, toys, all these things, which they actually hold together. So are they permitted or are they prohibited? So that is a disagreement amongst the various modern poskim, whether they are prohibited to use or not. Rambam held they were problematic. Rambam Zalman held they were mutter. And I think what's become fairly common is, since there's what to rely on, under bar mitzvah, we don't have to stop them. So, again, up to Duplo, I don't think, is what we're worried about. Duplo doesn't have that same level of connection and holding together that Lego does. Lego is much tighter. So Duplos, I don't think, are a problem. So your 5-year-old wants to play with a Duplo, that's fine. You want to play with Lego, so I don't think you can hand the Lego to them. But if they take the Legos, say, you know, probably because if they ask, can we play with the Lego? You're probably allowed to say yes. But, you know, and you definitely don't have to stop them. Okay, letters. So, taking letters which are not magnetic, and I'm just going to put them on a surface which is not going to hold them. Put them on the floor. I make a word. There's no way of making a word like that. The kid's going to take an A, a C, an A, and a T, and write the word cat. That's not a problem. Not a problem. If it's going to putting its magnetic letters, you're going to be putting it on the fridge, a C, an A, and a T, and that holds them in place, that's also. You can't do it in a way it's going to hold the letters in place. So you're putting it on a surface which is going to hold them. So, therefore, Rambam came along and said the same thing with the deluxe Scrabble, which has these little squares which hold the tiles in place. So you put the word in it, something's holding it in place. So Rambam said, that's also to do. Rabbi Bodner writes that he actually brought a set of the Scrabble to Rambam. Rambam looked at it and said, it's also. So that's a problem. So magnetic letters, because they're prohibited to use, because it's considered kaisev, it's the Rabbanon. It's because, so they're considered the klishim lata liyaser.
So does that mean technically the non-magnetic letters you would technically practice spelling with your child on Shabbos?
Correct. More than theoretically, you could.
And if you need to remember something, you could theoretically have your child write that word out for you? Or?
Well, you could do it yourself. You have to do it with your child. You could do it yourself.
But you can really...
I can take, if I need to remember to take out the cat, I can write C-A-T, yes. I can take a C, an A, and a T, and remind me to take care of the cat. They have nowadays, by the way, they have, you know, the kosher innovation, the kosher lamp. They have now, you can get a set of, they have words. There's no problem putting words together to make sentences.
You can leave messages for a person.
Right, so it's made with, it's magnetic, it fits out, but it's ready words, and they figured out almost all the words, because the Jewish, our actual vocabulary has been reduced to about 200 words. That's all we use, you know, nowadays. So therefore, it's no problem. They give all to the words, you just make the, you know, seen a few extra, you know, the, you know, a lot of thing, you know, it says the word thing 5 times, and you're good. Yeah.
So back to Lego, can you just clarify? So let's say you have a young child who wants to do one of those things,
It's a question. I don't have a good answer to that. I've grappled with that question. In other words, since there are some places which hold it's really mutter to use, period. So it's hard to say it's really muksa. But according to the person who holds also, they hold it to muksa. I mean, so, you know, I can't tell you there isn't what some person would say that it's not muksa. Some person would say that it is. But once you're accepting this on Haga before Mitzvah after Mitzvah, Pasha, you should assume that it's muksa. But if that's part of your need to play with your child, so that's like Sarah Kufay. You know, they'll say, oh, here, take this and put it together. So the kid will do that. So it's called Sarakufay. That's what's going to keep your kid happy for that hour. That's called Sarakufay. Right. Okay, marbles is again the problem of smoothing the surface. So it's the outside is a problem. Inside, we said an argument whether it's permitted, and it's better not to get involved. Putting together models, you know, your plastic models or wooden models, etc., that's considered boina, and therefore they're considered inherent mooks, and they're you can't move them. Making paper airplanes, you shouldn't be making paper airplanes on Shabbos. Anything of that sort, you know, it's come an issue. The case where it comes up is, you know, that some of these people are very, very handy with napkins. They want to make like all these different fancy types of things by these Shabbat brachas at Shabbos. So very basic, you know, just putting it in place, that's not a problem. But after that, yes, yeah. I'm sorry, which one?
There isn't magnets in general. There's just, you mentioned magnet letters, but using magnets in general, I've seen different things about magnets. That some posts can hold that it's like putting things together, like gluing them and stuff. I was just wondering what my uncle says about using magnets, like children or like using a magnet on the refrigerator. Is a magnet considered magnet?
There is an issue, some posts can hold like this. The person said, let's say you have, what's it called? Using a vacuum to attach something to the refrigerator. It has a twist arm and you pull it and it creates a vacuum and it sticks on. So that's all sort of do. They're a button. So the magnet would potentially have the same problem of since it holds on to the refrigerator like that. If it's made to go on and off regularly, it's not a problem. If you would want to put it there to leave it there, and that's the normal way of using it, would be problematic.
Okay. Yeah. And just one more question along that. In terms of a child's game, like let's say a backgammon, they have little magnets attached to the bottom, so you're not forming letters with the magnets, which I understand is usher for Scrabble, but it's a game where the pieces are going to be moved around, like these travel things, let's say. So would that be okay?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Pina?
What about paper airplanes and models that have already been built?
So those are fine. As long as the only issue you would have over there is if you're mocked on it, you know, I don't want anyone playing with it because it's going to get damaged. But I don't mind. It's not a problem. So you can prepare your paper airplane for a Shabbos and play with it on Shabbos. Okay. Play money. Games that use play money. So Mikra Dinetz Mutter, Shama Zalman said in Fairs, that's not real money. And there's no issue on that, etc. So Mikra Dinetz permitted. Some say it's a lack of covered Shabbos to use those type of games. Play dough and clay, you're getting involved in the malach of losh. Sometimes you're kneading it together, or boina, or building something with it. It's considered inherently mooks, and it's a problem. Puzzles. So, because puzzles hold, the adult puzzles, or semi-adult puzzles, not the little ones, they hold together. You know, the kid has his puzzle, he has four pieces, you know, and they stick in the, and that's not what I'm worried about. But they lock together, so again, you're making a picture, which is a form of kaisev, of writing something. Making a picture is a told of cursive, and you're locking it together. So it's like locking in place. So even though you're not locking onto something, you're locking the picture together. So you're creating a picture. So it's klisha malach to lisa, and it's muksa because of that.
What about the bone puzzles, like the bone pieces, like with A's and B's and C's, where the A comes out and goes back in?
Individual pieces.
It's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Like the big playmat?
Yeah, the playmat. Okay, right. I don't think it's a problem because you're not really making a picture there. You know, there's an empty hole which looks like an A, and you're putting an A inside of it.
Okay, and you could latch them all back together if they're apart.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So for the puzzles, when you're with a child with the puzzles, you can do the same thing you can do with the clicks and the Legos. Just be there with them playing if they want you to play with them for the puzzle. But you could be helping them put the pieces. Like this is the next piece or this is the next piece, and let them do it just like with the Lego.
My understanding, I didn't look into puzzles a lot. My understanding, they're probably puzzles is more problematic than Lego. So I would probably you might get involved with it. You should be stopping the child from doing it more than, you know, allowing it, facilitating it. That's, yes?
Just back to the puzzles. Like, even if you're going to make the puzzle and then destroy it, you can't do it.
Correct. It seems like writing a word with the time to take apart the word afterwards. You can't. You still can't. You're making a picture and then you're taking it apart. Okay, rattles. Anybody wants to leave now before I number the next one? Please do so. Okay. So the Chazal made an issur of making music on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's only if it's something which is made for the purpose of music. Klishir. The Ramah comes along and says, Minhag Ashkenazim, like the Ramah, is anything which is made for sound. Not necessarily music, but it's made for making sound. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, if I want to use a knocker on somebody's door on Shabbos, I'm allowed to use a knocker on somebody's... Sephardi could use it, can knock it with a knocker on the door, but an Ashkenazi can't. Can't because it's made for making sound. They used to have in Europe, the shamans used to have this like hammer, used to go around the town banging everybody's door to wake them up for davening. So Moshe says, it's not music, but it's made to make sound. So Moshe says you can't use it on Shabbos. So according to the Ramah, a rattle is made to make sound, so you can't use it on Shabbos. So an adult can't go over to the child and shake it. He's not allowed to make the sound. Can the child play with it? Well, usually the children are playing with it around the age of 4, right? So my child can play with it. Can I give it directly in my child's hand that he should play with it? So we said, no, you can't give it directly in the child's hand. Can I put it next to him? Yes, I could put it next to him. There is a tumor from Menashe Klein. He says, let's say the baby is very distraught, and the only thing that's going to count, what's going to calm down is this rattle, whatever it is, not electric. Right? So he says you can do it with a shinui. So in that situation, you have a distraught baby. He says you can rely on doing it with a shinui, and that would be permitted. So now comes out a fascinating thing: is it muksa? Well, it's made for making music or making sound, so it's muksa. Well, but the child's allowed to play with it. And even I'm allowed to I'm allowed to use it with a shinui. So there's a good argument to say it's not really muksa. Yeah. Somebody had a question.
Oh, yeah. Can you put a baby like in an extra saucer that has things that are designed to make noise and
yes, because if that's not the main, if the main action you're doing is not the sound is secondary, that's for sure mutter. I mean, I'm not giving him directly to do that.
Okay.
Sand in a sandbox is considered prepared before Shabbos, and it's not muksa. Sand on the beach is not like that, and it would be considered muksa. But even the sand in the sand, but you have to be aware of the malach of losh. Adding water to the sand is malach of deraisa. Because you're mixing the water with the sand, or say adding water, or even if there's water there, trying to make it into some form, both those would be prohibited. You have to play with dry sand. Scorekeeping games, we mentioned already before, that's what Pama Kosev. Snow. Snow, the Mishabura comes out, snow is not muksa. The Ramash has a chuba, Ramash holds that snow is muksa. He's actually the exception. Most places, Mishabura and others, snow is not muksa. However, you can't make snowballs or snowmen. And in regards to shoveling snow, you'll come and ask him when it's in the gate. Otherwise. Okay. Soap bubbles. So I want to give my child, the bubble thing, and he's going to go and make bubbles. Right? That's like, you keep him going for a long time. So,
you mean blowing bubbles.
Yeah, blowing bubbles, right. There is an isser of moilet of making. Ramosha actually held even just mixing water with soap to clean your dishes was a problem. We pass it out like that. But the goal is simply for the purpose of making the bubbles is an isser of moilet. So, again, if a young child is doing it, you don't have to stop him. But you shouldn't be giving it to him. And if it's considered muksa. It's made for that purpose, it's considered muksa. Sticks and stones are considered inherent muksa unless you designate them before Shabbos for continuous use. Swings, baby swings, which are, let's say, non-electric. So there's an issue of wind-up toys, which is the argument that wind-up toys is the following. There's a chayotim which comes along and says that their watches would wind. You had to wind their watch to function. So the chayotim says that a person's watch stopped on Shabbos, and a person would wind the watch. He did a malacha deraisa. Winding a watch on Shabbos, which is stopped, is a malacha deraisa. The Chayyim says, You're taking something that's not functioning, making it functioning. It's like fixing something. It's tikkun kli, and it's malacha d'orais. Mishmar paskins like it. He says, let's say it hasn't stopped yet. So you wind up when it hasn't stopped. So that might be mutter, because you're not really fixing anything. It's not broken. It's still going. But the Mishmar brings this chayot malacha d'orais. Wind-up toy, is that the same thing as a wind-up watch? So Rosh Hashanah itself said, no, it's not. It says, a watch's function is to keep time. When it stops, it's not functioning anymore. I don't know what time it is. A toy is made to use when I want to use it. So a watch which is not running is broken in a certain sense. When I wind it, I'm fixing it. A toy which is not working is not called a broken toy. When I turn it on, I fixed it. It wasn't broken to start with, and I'm not fixing it when I turn it on. So Shlomo Zalman holds it, you're allowed to wind toys on Shabbos. However, the Chazon Ish came along, the Chazon Ish really came first before Shlomo Zalman, but the Chazon Ish disagrees with that, and he feels that the issue of wind-up items is the same as turning on electricity. You're adding a new element to function which wasn't there beforehand. So he says it's prohibited. So in deference to the Chazon Ish and the Chazon Ish's position, so many poskim say that you should not use wind-up toys. But again, since there are opinions that say that's permitted, so I can allow my young child to use that, to use up the wind-up toys. They want to rely on it, they can use that. And therefore they're not considered muksa. So I get to the baby swing. So someone's down, so they want to wind up my swings, don't they? Chazon Ish says, no way, you can't do that. So suggestion is the following, that if you have a child which really needs it, so you can, if there's a non-Jew available, you ask him. If there's another child available, you ask the child to do it. If not, you do it with a shinui. So then at least you're addressing that issue. Electric swings, if you could do it without turning on electricity, so it would be the same thing as the non-electric. If you have to, if the only way it works is with turning on electricity, I'm not sure a way to get around that problem.
If you leave it on the timer, can you use it?
I think so.
If you leave it on the whole Shabbat, that's what
we do.
The
heck?
We'll share it all.
The only question which comes is there's a machlokes in Rabbi Yashiv Shlita and Rosh Hashanah Zatzal. If I increase the electric current, is that a problematic?
Like when you put the baby in?
Right. So Rosh Hashanah said that was mutter. And Riyashiv holds it to us. So, again, if you put the baby in with a sheen, like put him upside down. Okay. So, again, so that's when it becomes a little bit challenging. Okay, regular swings outside. So if it's in a swing set, it's not a problem. If it's on a tree, if the swing is attached to the tree, so you have an issue of using trees on Shabbos. So the only way you could use a swing that's attached to a tree is if it's not direct, if the swing and the rope are not directly attached to the tree, number one, which means you'd have something drilled into the tree, and then hooks, and the ropes will be attached to the hooks. A. B, the tree will not move when you're swinging it. It's strong enough, it's attached to a very strong enough branch that the branch will not move when you swing on it. Then you'd be allowed to swing on such a thing. A zip line, these type of things, all the same thing. It has to be that it's attached in such, not directly to the tree, and that it will not move when you're swinging on it. Swings, and let's say you have a place that's outside of the Erev. So then you go, oh, yeah, outside of the Erev, you come to a swing set, and, you're 35 years old, but, we're all kids at heart. I want to swing on the swings. Is there any block involved? I'm going $1 this way, $1 that way. Is that a problem? So pashas it's not, because it's attached the whole time. It never goes anywhere. Right? So pashas it's not a problem. Tent, just so kids want to play tent. So the loch is that you can if I want to make a tent like this on Shabbos, that's not a problem. Temporary tent. Kids take a blanket, put it over a chair, like that. If I want to make a tent this way, it has a part which is a tefach this way, which is 3 inches, 4 inches this way, which is flat, I can't. So you want to take two chairs, spread the tent, my blanket over the both of them, and create a flat surface, which is a tefach wide, I can't do. But one chair is worth, you can make a tent with one chair. tricycle, skates, skateboard are not, you know, the, as opposed to a bicycle, which is made to go long distance, that's what it's made for. So it's called a kli, which is made for hitzah, to go somewhere. Tricycle is not really made to go anywhere. Children's skates, skateboard, those type of things, so they'll be permitted. And lo and behold, we've actually covered everything which we have tonight. Look at that. Okay, very good. Any questions?
Can go on a skateboard outside?
If there's an Arab. Yeah, I'm talking about there's an Arab.
I never in a million years would have thought you can do go on skates or a skateboard on Shabbos.
I'm not saying it's the most Shabbos like a thing, you know what I mean? You know, but you know, if you live in Los, you know, some cities that's called normal. I don't know. I have a niece who air Shabbos, she puts on her skates and she moves around the kitchen like that. It's much quicker. Yeah.
A tricycle, does it make a difference what surface you're riding it on?
No, it's the same thing as like a carriage. We paskin, even if it goes on dirt, it doesn't really dig a hole. It compacts instead of digging. Oh, try one other thing I want to point out. If
breaking a branch.
Breaking a branch.
When you drive over it, when the child doesn't move it.
What?
Away from a tree.
If it's detached or attached?
Detached. I'd say it's on the side.
If it's detached, it's not a problem. If it's attached, I can't imagine the kid's going to have... Getting into the when it's still attached. Let's say a wheel comes off. Let's say a wheel comes off of the tricycle. So what happens then? So putting the wheel back like this. Putting the wheel back is also to do. Once Chazal came along and said, since you were afraid you might decide to do that, so we made it muksa. This way you'll remember not to do it. But it's interesting, it's like a twist of halacha. So a repair which I can do, I don't need a repairman to do, so then it's muksa. If it's a repair which I can't do anyway, I need a repairman to do it, then it's not muksa, because you're not going to do it anyway, because you don't know how to do it. As long as I still have some use, I can still, you know, kids are very, they'll take one of the older kids, wrap a rope around them, attach them to the tricycle and pull me, even though there's no foot, you know, no wheel, just the hate. If you need a repairman to fix it, if you can do it yourself, then it becomes muksa. The wheel and the tricycle. The same issue, by the way, you have if a lens comes out on your glasses. Is the same issue. If you can fix it, if it's loose and it comes in and out all the time, it's not a problem. You got to put it back in. If it's tight, putting it back in is considered you're doing a tikkun. You know how to do it, but you know how to do it. So the lens and the glasses become muksa, or a temple comes off. If you can fix it yourself. So then everything becomes muksa. If you can't, then it's not muksa. You can still use it as is. So it's the same. A foot comes off of a chair. All of these are the same issue, where if you can fix it yourself, the whole thing becomes muksa. If you can't, then it doesn't, which is somewhat counterintuitive. Yeah?
Even if it's just temporary, if it's a temporary fix, like, you know, with glasses, you really have to go get them fixed, but you can get it in enough and fiddle with enough so it just... So you can see where you're going.
I think so, yeah.
But,
yeah.
It's kind of like the same question that...
Oh.
I'm sorry, can you off that question, if there's, let's say, a child's toy, like a baby straw, whatever, the wheels are always popping on and off. So it's they're really, you know, it's something that's always happening. So you fixing it is like going to be just a temporary solution.
See, if it happens all the time, then it's not a problem. If you've done that before Shabbos, you use it before Shabbos loose at a regular basis, that's not a problem. Yeah.
Cleaning up toys that are malachtel, is there, because your room is, like, the living room's really messy, can you put them what you can?
With your foot. With your foot. And if you're very agile, you can actually put it into the toy box with it also. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What about, this is just like very, it's not pertaining to anything specific, but somebody knows had open lock. In our building with a credit card, and they knocked on our door once. We have a credit card. We're locked out of our apartment. So it happened twice right now. We were out in the we weren't sure what to do.
In that same case, that's because of muksa.
Well, it's muksa, and also it's machmas kufa, right? But then
right.
It's in our it's in a wallet. So is that bosses really, or
the wallet is well? If what's ever in there is all. If you have no money in your wallet, I don't carry any money in my wallet. I just carry credit cards. it's not more chomer than what it's a bosses to. It's a bosses to things which are klishim lata leser. See, if I'm mocking my credit cards, I will not use them for anything else but the credit cards for purchases, so that'll become a concern kiss. If I'll use it to underline something, I need to underline something in my safe, I'll pull out a credit card and use it. So I'm mocking on that, so it's klishma not the lesser. So the wallet becomes a bus, it's still klishma not the lesser. So as much as I'm allowed to move, if I need the credit card, I'm allowed, if I need to get into the wallet, it's the same need. Actually, there is an opinion that's told that klishma not the lesser doesn't create buses, period. There's no buses on klishma not the lesser, period. We hold that there is, but even if there is, it's not more stringent than what it's a buses to. It's a general rule by buses. The buses is always the same as what it's buses to. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question about, I know you discussed this once in a different share, about muktzah of garbage. But I just have more questions about it. Like, let's say, changing the garbage in the kitchen on Shabbos. Forget about Yotze for a minute. But I realize I'm like fooling myself if I say it's rational right here. Like, it's not smelling or anything. Like, I have no place to put the new garbage, so I need to take out the old. Which is really like,
I think the solution over there is because nowadays our garbage, there's enough things in the garbage usually which probably are not really muktzah. Anything which is discarded on Shabbos, which was a plastic culturally, if you don't recycle, there's things in there which are usable, bottles and stuff like that, all those things in there. If there's food in there which is still edible, so all those things are not muktzah. So the majority of it is not muktzah. So then you're allowed to move it.
Okay, and then on Yom Tov, same way.
Yom Tov gets a little more problematic because on Yom Tov, probably the same. Probably the same. There's enough things in there which are probably not muktzah.
Okay, and then what about how far you can take it? Could you take it outside? Like in the corner of the kitchen? Like I don't know if the difference would be, but I also went to someone's house. So
his wife, Anyantif,
would
just
take the
garbage outside, just leave it in the corner of the kitchen. Is that just like a Marisayan kind of thing? Or I think it's more to take it outside.
Okay.
Very good. Now, ladies, when you go out, I'm allowed to go out. There's some flyers. There's a flyer for Rav Aaron Stein for men and women next week, Tuesday night, about Purim. And I'm saying a shiur about preparing. I'm saying two shiurim, a shiur the Monday after Purim about preparing the kitchen for Pesach. I'm not going to say that word now, but okay. And then
it's too late.
And then the Monday after that, which is the second Monday after Purim, I'm giving a shiur about. There's no flyer for it yet. I'm giving a shiur about finding ways to warm up your food for the night of the Seder, which is Friday night, which is Shabbos. You're not eating the meal too much later. How are you keeping your food warm, etc.? Some ways to deal with that. Seder night. Okay.